Hello and welcome to The Talkies, a weekly film podcast with me, Lucy Smith.
And me, Michael Henry.
This week we'll be discussing documentaries.
I'm excited by this week's one, purely because I feel like documentaries are one, underrated, and two, not talked about enough. What do you think?
I don't know, like, documentaries don't really appear in your big cinemas that much, so I feel like it was something I discovered when I actually got into film, other than, like, the odd one on TV about something I was already interested in. So, yeah, it's a funny genre.
Well, it's interesting you say funny, because most of them aren't funny as well.
So this week, both our picks have been sort of draining, and I watched your pick today, and
see, I don't completely, I mean, I found yours draining, but we'll get into that. But I don't completely agree with what my pick was, because I find it, it's going to make me sound like a psychopath, but I find it entertaining and funny, and that's what makes it uncomfortable, I think. So should we start with my pick now that we've done that? Okay, so my pick for the week is The Act of Killing, which is not the easiest film to watch. But it's done in a very unique way. So it's about Indonesian death squads. So it's a comedy. The director follows along these guys who are heads of the Indonesian death squad during a massacre. I think it was in the 70s or the 60s.
Mid-60s, I think.
The 60s, yeah. And they're asked to reenact their mass killings in whatever way they want. So they basically take a cinematic genre like a musical or Hollywood crime film. And the director of the documentary allows these subjects to direct themselves and their friends in reenacting the killings. And what comes out is a really surreal, obviously dark, occasionally funny and mostly traumatic documentary. And it's unlike anything I've seen. It is hands down the best documentary I've ever seen. Again, it's not easy to watch sometimes, but I think the thing that really stands out is it could be easy just to make, and I think you may disagree here, it could be easy to make something that's very bleak when it's about a massacre, like the Holocaust, for instance. But what makes this a little bit different is that these guys are sort of smiling and joking all the way through, and that's what makes it uncomfortable. And you actually kind of care about them at some times. And when it comes to the ending, which I don't want to spoil, you do kind of sympathize despite the fact this guy's killed thousands of people essentially with his bare hands. And he kind of did it in a conveyor belt type way. So what was your experience?
Yeah, I think that whole idea of them smiling and laughing through it. I mean, the whole thing, you're right, I did care about them. And I think you watch to sort of try and work out, the film's very good at letting you try and work out on your own how on earth these people can be both killers. No, it's bad, but no, they had to do it. And then they've got different ways of living with it. The main guy, is it Anwar?
I think so, yeah.
Does suffer from nightmares and stuff. And
well, they seem to be in denial of it. And I think that's kind of how they managed to live, because this is a genocide of like over 1 million people. And I don't know how someone can, like, I don't know how someone could have lived on the perpetrator side of the Holocaust, for instance. I don't know how you could live with doing those things afterwards, even if people were telling you it's okay at the time. I don't know how you could deal with those things afterwards.
Well, I think Anwar's less okay with it. I think there's the one guy who was talking, saying it was a war. They did what they needed to.
But it wasn't a war, though. They literally just went round.
Yeah, it wasn't a war.
Rounding up people and calling them communists. And oh, sorry, you were just saying his justification.
No, it wasn't a war. It was completely sort of just fabricated. There's one point where they're talking about pretty much everyone. Like, people there are paid. There's so much corruption. They're paid to go to rallies and paid to vote for the right people. Basically, if you're rich, you can get in power. Someone described it as everyone in the area is like a soap actor.
There's a lot of propaganda as well.
They are acting happy all the time, but in their heads they're thinking, what the fuck's this guy doing? Why the fuck am I here? And the whole thing felt like, I loved watching the unravelling of, we're going to make these films, almost like the shock factory even, like, oh, these people in the West maybe will watch this and know that we're proud of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't always sure on there who it was for, but
Well, so the guy directed it, Joshua Oppenheimer, he employs something called psychodrama, which I think it's a term from therapy, but in documentary in particular, it's been used quite a few times and quite successfully, where you get someone to, I'm trying to think the best way to describe it, you get someone to dramatize or role play some sort of self-presentation and of an event or in their life, and you get them to investigate and gain insight into their own actions. And I think that's definitely what happens at the end, because when they get the main guy to sit in the seat of someone who was a victim, it essentially makes him have a breakdown, which, again, is hard to watch. I think it's one of the most, not shocking as such, but I think it was one of the most dramatic and sort of shaking experiences I've ever had watching a film. Like the last 20 minutes of it, I don't like the guy, and I definitely don't agree with what he's done. But there's something about I think that's the power of film in general, but also with documentary, that it delves really, really deep. Like, you literally went to the core of this person, and the film created some catharsis or release. And I find that fascinating. I don't know if you... So what were your issues with the film? Because I know you didn't enjoy a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, I texted you at one point saying I'm really not feeling this. And at one point was basically sobbing till I felt like I was going to throw up. That was around the... So they raped a lot of women and did stuff to children, or like whatever they were doing. And they were recreating this scene. And at the end of the scene, the women and the children who were acting couldn't stop crying.
Yeah.
And the men were, you know, stroking their hair, going, it's okay, you can stop crying now. But they wouldn't. And what does that tell you?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I would love to see something about the women in this film. It's, they're treated disgustingly. I would love to see...
There's a follow-up to this by the same guy called The Look of Silence, which is equally as good, and it follows the lives of the victims as they confront the perpetrators. And because it's basically something that's been swept under the rug a little bit, like no one denies that it didn't happen, but these people have to live with neighbors who they know were on the other side.
Does that focus on women, that film?
Yeah, it's the mother. It's okay. Basically the son trying to get the mother to admit to what had happened and get her to confront it, basically. It isn't her as the lead, because she's quite senile in places, and it wouldn't be quite as coherent, but it's...
I think what I'm saying is I'd like the women's perspective in Indonesia.
Yeah.
That's you do get that from missing so badly.
You do get that from the follow-up, I would say.
Okay. Well, yeah, what I was going to say, it took me a while to say it, but it was a while back. Yeah, what I was going to say was... So yeah, there was these moments where it was absolutely disgusting and horrible, but they've done the film very well. So within a couple of minutes of that feeling, it's switched to something about Anwar talking about karma and how he thinks something's coming to him. And it's sort of like, they're very good at the balance of keeping you... Because if all they have is that horrible shit, then I would have walked out the cinema, but they're very good at keeping you there.
Well, I think I've got a higher tolerance with this stuff, which we've talked about before. Like, I'll watch a film like The Painted Bird, which is 3 hours of just the worst things that can happen to someone. But as long as it's with a purpose, I don't mind it. And I think, I don't know, do you think a documentary should shy away from these things and stop people feeling this way? Because I'll engage with a film like this because it's showing those things, not in like in a glorified way where I'm just like, huh, that was fun, it was really cool when he did that. It's like, no, I don't want to put the blinders on. I won't. I want to see the truth of this thing that happened. Like, I don't want to deny that there's terrible things that go on in the world.
I absolutely think that documentaries shouldn't shy away from anything, and it's good that films like this are out there. But it's also true that just because we need to learn about it, you know, there's always the viewer's choice, so people can go get this film, watch it, but just make sure they're prepared for it. I mean
the title kind of gives it away, and the synopsis, I would say it's about Indonesian death squads, and it's called The Act of Killing, and it's about
there's only two other films that have made me have a physical reaction like that.
What were the other two?
One was Dancer in the Dark, that really long, horrible one. And the other was Amy, the documentary about Amy Winehouse, because properly poked at my nerves. I don't know. There's too many things in it that just too many of my worst fears came true and I just couldn't deal. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll
move anyway, on. For another time.
Unless you want to delve into that. But, well, okay. So something I want to ask is, do you think a documentary has to show a complete reality? So I'm talking about ethics here in terms of the people making it. Is it okay to edit false scenes into a documentary or manipulate the environment? Because the director here definitely creates something that is unreal. I don't know, do you think that's okay?
It's a really strange one. And I think this is why good directors with who know where their heart and their head lies is important, because no one's life told in a story is fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's different versions of truths, but there's never fact. So it's about shaping the story. It's about working with them, shaping the story in a way that you agree with. But yeah, in the case of this director, he's approaching these people that, you know, his morality doesn't align. And this film's sort of him trying to get something out of them to be like, are you human? Come on. Like, trying to poke at them. It's a really interesting one.
Well, I feel like this couldn't work without the false elements. Like, I don't think these are people who lie all the time. It's all about their ego. You know, like you said, they're brushing their hair and stuff at times. I think without the psychodrama and the recreated scenes in there, this film wouldn't be. I mean, for me, it's really innovative. I know I've seen it in other documentaries where psychodrama is used, but I feel like this is why documentaries become, in my opinion, over the past 10 years in particular, I've started to notice that documentary is pretty much the only place in cinema where people are actually taking risks and innovating. And I think because it was mostly kind of an ignored art form or underappreciated for most of the last century. And I'm talking about average viewers, not like people who are really into film. Whereas now with streaming platforms, I think there's a lot more people, there's a lot more interest in these things. However, the downside is also that most people want like a sensationalized, warped reality. I think that's mostly thanks to reality TV. But I'm talking about stuff like Tiger King and anything that's about true crime. And like people have become obsessed with this stuff, but it's heightened and it's never really about getting to a truth. Whereas talking about this film in particular, it's the elements that are false bring out. So the lies create a truth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, without the psychodrama, we wouldn't have he wouldn't have captured the realization on screen of what this guy realizing what he's done. Like, he couldn't have done it. So it's more like he's documenting the project. The documentary is not about their lives. It's about this project that they've collaborated in. And
yeah, and that's one thing I really enjoyed the first time I watched it. It felt very meta without being like, oh, look, we're doing meta. It felt like, no, we're doing this on purpose to draw your attention to the fact this isn't real and eventually get to a point rather than just using it as a tool.
It's really interesting that they did that as well, because speaking of meta, so there's a bit when Anwar's talking about growing up, he would watch gangster films, he'd watch cowboy films and look at all the really cool ways that people kill each other. And he became those characters and reenacted that when he was a gangster. And it's sort of like, if he's just borrowing from all the films he's ever watched and now he's in a film, it's like, how can you ever like separate fact from that anyway? All you can do is point a camera at it and try and poke him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, now's probably a good time to talk about other films that I was thinking about discussing as well. Because
what you just said,
there's one in particular called Stories We Tell, which I want to save for another episode. It's about, I can't remember the actress's name, but she tries to get her stepfather to recall. She gets people in her family to recall stories of her mother who she never really felt she knew. And in doing that, starts to uncover more and more secrets about her family and people. I don't know if I want to go here. And it's just getting them to retell. She writes narration for some of them and then records them doing the narration and interjecting and saying, I'm not sure about this. And it's a similar thing where it's psychodrama. You're reenacting something, and through the lie of performance brings out the truth. And her mum was a performer too. And that's one that I can not mention because it's one of the best.
Yeah,
it's one of the best documentaries ever made.
Because like one, it's sort of related. One thing I was thinking about was doing a documentary and approaching someone.
Were you thinking of doing a documentary, or do you mean just hypothetically, how does someone approach someone?
So when you're going to make a documentary and you've got to create this story from fact, And I feel like a lot of them are made from people like hearing of someone or seeing them and going, I would like to document your story or whatever you're doing. I would like to film that. And it's interesting that I feel like that with the act of killing, that's kind of what was happening. Like, we are going to do this thing and I'm just going to film it. And I know that I'll be able to make a story out of that. And it sort of links to my pick, which is a bit different, which feels like someone just put a camera in front of someone and said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm just going to wait and hope that something happens to you. It's really odd.
I didn't know much before I went into watching your pick, and I still can't figure out how they made it, because, I mean, obviously you'll introduce it in a second, but there's so much that happens that I don't know how do you pick someone who lives in the middle of nowhere? How do you find them, for starters? And then this huge, almost like magical biblical story comes about afterwards. There's a chain of events of certain things that you're like, how did this happen? How did you, I don't know how you prepare for that.
Biblical is a good way of putting it. Yeah, so my pick was Honeyland, which is, it follows this woman, unlike your, I'd love to talk about the director's role in the documentary, because in The Act of Killing, he seems to get very close to the people, whereas in Honeyland, we don't even, it just feels like there's a fly on the wall camera, and it's, no one's ever addressed behind the camera. It doesn't feel like they're in her life at all. So Honeyland follows this, it's a Turkish woman living in a Macedonian, very, very rural village. And she, I think it's like described as the last female bee hunter in Europe, but she doesn't hunt bees. She sort of finds a way to collect honey from these wild hives and makes a living by selling it back in the city. And she's looking after her very, very ill mother in a little hut. But yeah, I have no idea how they approached her. And I mean, she's an interesting character.
Well, hang on. I feel like you're missing a big part of that story, which is the neighbours turning up and ruining everything that you've mentioned the first 10 minutes. You might want to mention how south it goes.
Well, yeah. So like the main story, I guess, which again, how do the people with the cameras know that this is going to happen? This family turns up. She seems to be pretty much alone in the village, and this family turns up, takes the neighbouring land, starts very horribly farming in a really like destructive way, and eventually get their own beehives with catastrophic consequences. And it's almost like they're a plague, and it's, I don't know, the whole film kind of felt like humans are a plague.
Yeah, and I mean... This is something that I love, and I've talked about it with your own writing in a way that I think the more specific and the more micro a story is or an idea, it can sometimes feel more profound and bigger because of it. And this is such a small, like you say, it's a woman in her 50s looking after her mother in the 80s, in her 80s, and it's a very quiet, serene life looking after bees and selling the honey. And then, yeah, this family with 7 kids and 150 cows and tractors and everything just moves in next door, and they learn how she makes a living, and they start to copy and then just destroy everything and then leave. And it's basically, I found it really hard to watch in places because I didn't like it to begin with, which we'll get into, but once I started to really care for her, I was acutely aware that these people are probably just going to ruin this person's life.
Yeah, I would say the documentary, again, how did they create this story? But by the end, you get the feeling that her, just like all of nature, will just write itself. So
yeah,
as soon as cyclical. Those people leave, you know, the land can grow again.
But yeah, in terms of how they made it, I think it's really well structured. Like, it's almost like a fiction fable. It's like the serene Eden-like. It's not a perfect life. Obviously, her mother's bedridden and she's, you know, completely alone other than that.
But
the arrival of them is at the right point. The connection, like, at first she's really nice to them and open, gives them advice and all this stuff.
Well, sort of. It takes her a long time to talk to them, I realised on my rewatch. It takes her, like, a good however many days just watching them.
Yeah, I think you would be suspicious, but she's not threatening to them, is what I'm saying, that she is very...
Yeah.
That's where I started to care, is like, oh, actually, she's really... She, like, helps turtles out of areas that when they get stuck and...
teaching their kids. And
she doesn't wear much protective clothing with the bees because she's learned how to just work with them in a way that's not destructive. So when you get these neighbours in who are just complete chaos.
Yeah, it's kind of like, socialism versus capitalism in a weird way. She's
definitely,
like,
it's,
take
very
half
green.
The honey and leave half for the bees. And they're like, no, I want that honey for the monies. And that's pretty much
it. And that's the thing, it's not even huge money. It's like 2,000 euros, which obviously is a large sum of money. But I mean, longer term, they literally just wipe out that land. There's even a bit where he's burning a tree and it's like, he says he's doing it for the right reasons. It's like, no, you're just destroying a tree and land and making it harder for her to earn a living. And it's distressing in a very different way to my pick, in that it's just really hard to watch people be so ignorant and lie. And the father figure of that family is just awful. Like, at first he seems quite sweet, and then you realize he's just constantly lying, trying to make money any way he can, lies to everyone's face, beats his family, just is awful.
Yeah, seems to feel pressures to support his family, but there's so many different ways. It feels like all he's learnt is to just, like, milk until there's no cow and then move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting as well, because there's, at first, watching the woman with her mother and collecting the honey, she's almost like, I don't mean this offensively, she's almost Neanderthal-like in the way she appears and moves and has a very simple life.
Mm.
And then when she goes to the city, for instance, you realise that, Macedonia's not like this old, weird village, much like anywhere in the world. You know, people have got smartphones, mohawks and all sorts, like there's trains and people with smartphones, and it's really weird to see. I love seeing people who are out of time. She could easily have been from 100 years ago or 50 years ago or even further back, like the way she moves and dresses, all these kind of things. And then you've got this modernity that moves in next door and just kills everything.
I think people like that have been around from the dawn of time, but
But I mean, more so with the technology and the tractors and just the greed that's there is just...
That's another thing that documentaries can do, though. It's like, we would never have seen this woman or this tiny village had it not been captured on this camera. Like, it's the sort of stuff, like you say, out of time, that we would never know about.
Yeah.
And I love that film can do that.
Well, this is a big reason why I got into... Not why as such, but a big thing that really stuck with me early on, which was... One thing I love about film is that it can take me all over the world without me having to leave my home, especially when I was like 14, 15. I'm not getting on a flight and going to some mountains. Like, it's just not practical. But I remember having a teacher, and he was like, he brought in a box set of DVDs or some obscure Iranian film and say, oh, if you're only watching independent American films, check this out. And just seeing how other people live, I've talked about this before, that cinema is called the empathy machine. And I think it's formed my reality, or how I perceive other people in a larger empathetic way. I think that to see a very simple life of this woman who just collects honey and is quite naive and sweet to people and everything, it's easy just to think, if you hear about, I don't know, Syria or Russia, you forget there's so many people who live there and they're not all the same. Say with America too, there will be people who are just honest, decent people who actually are nice to their neighbours, but you get caught up in the news cycle of this horrible thing's happening in America, or these people doing these horrible things in Korea, for instance. But the world's not really that simple. That's what I like about documentary, is it takes you around the world.
Yeah.
So this is something I want to ask. What do you think the purpose of documentary is? Do you think a documentary has to inform? Does it have to? Should it entertain? One thing for me is I get to see parts of the world I wouldn't necessarily see, especially in entertainment and fiction. It's just, they don't get shown. You're talking about pretty obscure art house films if you want to see parts of the world in an unbiased light. So what do you look for in a documentary, and what do you think the purpose is?
Definitely to entertain, because it's a film.
Do you find Honeyland entertaining?
Yeah, I think it's beautiful as well. Like, the colours, and it's also... Everyone knows it's just interesting to watch other humans. So that is entertainment in itself, I guess.
I think maybe we have a different view on entertainment. When I say entertainment, I mean more sensationalised, like over the top. Whereas this film...
drama.
Yeah, kind of. That it's not really reality. I mean, both of our picks, I would say, have some entertainment, but they're not going to be advertised to your average viewer as... this week, the act of killing. It's not going to be... It's not like a blockbuster. That's what I think entertainment... where there's not much else going on there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think even more than just normal films, because we're aware that the barrier of the actor has been taken away, like these are people doing what they'd usually do, I think it hits even more to like make you think about other people, make you think about your own life. Like I'm sat here right now, we're recording after I've just watched The Act of Killing, and I'm like, I think my head feels messy because there's too many thoughts going around, but it's good that it's making me think.
Yeah.
So I think documentaries, if a documentary is pretty much telling me something I already knew, and you know what, The Act of Killing could have been that. It could have just been shit, 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 horrible things, yeah. And without any extra message, that's not a good documentary because I've not learned anything really. I've learned things about people I didn't know, and I've seen things that I've never seen before, I suppose, but it's given me no new thoughts.
Yeah.
So that's what a documentary should do, I think.
Well, that's where I kind of have issue with someone like Michael Moore. Like, I don't think he's a bad documentarian, but back to what I said.
What's he done?
Fahrenheit 9/11, Bowling for Columbine. He's renowned for being... His films almost feel like propaganda for the left in a way. And although and it's going back to what you said, I agree with what he's saying, and he is unearthing certain truths. But the problem is, he does it in such an entertaining or over-the-top sensationalist way. The stories of him recording stuff at a different time and faking certain things, and for me, that weakens his arguments. If someone who's a far right or someone Republican can pick apart and say, well, you're lying here, then your argument's kind of ruined. I don't think...
You want to open up the world for people. You don't want to just be like, yes, we were right all along, this confirms it, or whatever. Like,
but I think that's kind of the problem, is that we expect some sensationalism. Because I honestly think, because Honeyland's a film I hadn't seen. I'd heard of it, but I don't think most people would have heard of it.
And just a note, that was one of the only films that you haven't seen that I have.
No, there's been... You mentioned another one, I can't remember what it was, but there's
maybe
been a couple.
Maybe like one more.
Yeah. But, you know, I do watch a lot. But, yeah, with Honeyland, that's going back to what you're saying there, that if I hadn't watched it, and who's someone who really digs and searches for things, then most people wouldn't. And I think it's because it's quite subtle, and I mean, it becomes more magical and mythical towards the end. And I said this before we even started recording this, that there's so many images that have really stuck with me, even little things like a bee killing another bee, her chasing away some wolves with some fire, and the way it's shot is almost like a painting most of the time. It's just simple one striking light from one side, and then dark background. It's like Caravaggio or Rembrandt or something.
And there's not a lot of talking either. It doesn't rely on that.
Yeah. It's very painterly, and it's just striking in a almost too subtle way. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is that because it's not sensational, maybe less people will watch it. And it does actually have something very big and important to say or to.
At the same time, anyone I suggest it to, that's the thing with film festivals, like it's been at least nominated for a lot of awards, and I think that's the reason people would at least consider it. But that's a shame, because what if it's not to a film festival's taste? And then anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
We'll save that one.
Yeah. So if you made a documentary, what would it be about?
I've got a couple of ideas, and again, like I said, I think because it's somewhere you can innovate, I am drawn to the idea of documentary. It can be slightly cheaper as well, which is obviously a good thing, but I think there's more you can do with it. And one idea I had recently was, I'd probably do it about con artists, because again, you get to work with truth and lies and uncovering truths within the lies. And I'm always interested in performance and truth. That's definitely something I've always been drawn to. But I think what I would do is, to make it more interesting, is plant an actor pretending to be a con artist amongst the con artists. So you get someone who, you give them a backstory, and then they're introduced to these other people, and just see if they buy it. I think that'd be quite an interesting thing to do.
That's interesting. That's similar to the Act of Killing sort of way to approach it, is let's do this project which attacks like the idea of fact and fiction, and then film that. That's really interesting.
How about you? Have you got any ideas?
Do you know what? I've literally just thought of this, but I think I'd do... It's probably going to be a very arty-farty one, but about clothes and how they make us feel when we wear them. Not like following a fashion designer or anything like that, but picking, I don't know how I'd pick people, but picking people with stories that link to their clothes and then just doing very sort of like very intimate questions of like how it feels, literally the fabric, how do your emotions change when you put this or this on, and do something to do with that because I'm interested. Yeah, I haven't really seen it.
I think as well, if you could pick people and get them to try on stuff they wouldn't normally try and get them to walk around in it and see how that affects their behaviour as well, that could be interesting.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to The Talkies. This week's episode was documentaries. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And remember to tune in for next week's episode.